oversee things, this would be at 24 people. You would be under 25 people. It's a lot of numbers, so it's just easy way to do the math. If you had 32 to 40 people staying at the RV site on 50 days out of the year, you would not be a public water system either. Please let me know if you have any additional questions. The detail of this email is extremely important because there's many confusions between the rules, between a domestic well, water source, a multi-well water source, and then also a high-yield water source. By definition, the requirements for this project meet a multifamily well development with DNR rule 10 CSR 23-1.010. Water well construction rules will be followed and installed by a property licensed contractor in regards to DNR rule 10 CSR 23-3. The point of contact is Mr. Tim Bull with DNR, team leader well installation section, and also Kristen Patterson, which is also with DNR, drinking water section chief. In summary, after about a year of working with the well and drinking water requirements, what we have summed up is everything in this email, and the project does not meet public water system requirements from DNR or supervision on a monthly basis. The next subject that I'd like to cover is the requirements for septic. If we can go to the Gabriel Santee with DNR, I believe it's the fourth one down. Gabriel Santee is the DNR representation point of contact. Billy, thanks for talking with me over the phone today. As I understand it, you will be trying to rezone a parcel of land for an RV park, and there was some confusion between jurisdiction. It all comes down to the type of systems being used. 8 RVs at 120 gallons per day per RV is 960 gallons per day, which is well under the 3,000 gallons per day tipping point. That being said, if you are utilizing cluster systems or centralized system, at this flow level, you will be under the jurisdiction of the health department. If you are using individual septic systems, one system per RV, then the park will fall under the jurisdiction of DNR. I hope this helps. If you have any more questions, feel free to reach out. This is from Mr. Gabriel Santee. Also locally on the Taney County level, I've been working with Mr. John for about a year as well on this discussion before I made the decision to actually rezone this property. I also have a visual for the soil sample. Mr. Scott, please, I believe it's the first one. This is a soil sample that was conducted this Saturday. This soil sample reflects what Mr. John and myself have been working on. The plan is to install two 1,250-gallon septic tanks with proper lateral lines and equipment. Installing will meet all requirements installed by a contractor. Project does not meet DNR requirements of more than 3,000 gallons per day. Again, the point of contact for this for DNR is Gabriel Santee, Water Protection Program, and also Mr. John, because it's actually in his jurisdiction for the septic installation. This is the second time we've used this individual for a soil report, and on a different part of the property, the loading rate, if you will see on page one of that visual, midway down to the right of the visual on the paper, the trench depth shows recommended 18 inches down at a load rate of 0.4. And I will try to read every word of his handwriting there, but in short, he is suggesting that due to the 120 gallons per day RV is 10 times the usage from RVs based on several recent following statements and studies. We had a conversation out there that you have two 1,250 gallon septic tanks, you had to meet the requirement for linear footage, whether it's 80 or 100 feet, whatever is determined with Mr. John. His statement is saying that put a flow system on the first couple RVs, maintain and watch the flow system, because DNR actually wants systems to be reduced and used with prior installation if possible. Meaning, if you do four units and run lateral line of 80 feet and show proof that the levels are not exceeding 120 gallons per day, you can install four more with the same amount of lateral lines put in place, which reduces people coming and working on the property, reduces traffic on the property, and also just reduces dirt work and another day of machines being on my property. The next visual I'd like to use is the MLS listing, please. I believe it's fourth from the last. Last week, property value was a high thing that was brought up, and it's something that's very personal to myself. This visual is provided by the Flex MLS, which is not Zillow. It's a credible source used by both real estate agents and also appraisers. I have three properties on here that one is 0.9 miles away, 1.49 miles away, 2.79 miles away. And if you scroll down, please. These are recommendations on selling if I were to sell the property today. This is considered a seller's market, and agents are recommending sellers to sell at a higher listing price. From what I'm showing, if I were to list my property today, it would be about $645,000 if I wanted to sell it today in value, current value. The reason I bring this up is because last week the discussion was that I plan to possibly decrease value of myself and also my neighbors. I find this very important to use numbers and facts to show that this also is very important to me as a property owner and living on the property. 7851 State Highway 176 was purchased at $400,000. Today's market value per MLS is $640,000. Property increased value of $240,000. That is a year and 9 months of ownership in our possession of $240,000 in increased value. This increased value has become available through completely remodeling the entire property from a previous pretty much junkyard with multiple cars. You can look from visuals from old beacon images of at least 25 vehicles on the property, two RVs that were not registered with the county with occupants in them. I completely cleaned all of the unneeded brush off the property, completely remodeled the property on top, including the house and the interior and exterior of the property. As a homeowner, I'm participating in making my community prosperous. Excellent curb appeal. The property has been in my wife's family for over 40 years. Equity in the property is only valuable if you plan to borrow against it. My family seeks long future of ownership without interest in selling or dividing our property. A conditional use permit does not protect our family investment upon transfer of ownership in the form of inheritance or sale of the property. Conditional use permit does not meet the legal protection needed for a proper trust and will requested from Hannah and myself as parents. By properly working with the county, property value is protected and has no injury to neighbors. There is a higher risk of property foreclosures by neighbors due to current economy. By working closely with the county, this project can avoid building failures in construction. As an example, the HOA. If you could do just a visual, Mr. Scott, of the overview of my property, please, and just the surrounding, please.
How far out?
That's perfect, sir.
Perfect?
Okay. Yes, sir. As a neighbor at this property, we cut wood on that back pasture up there, and we have permission from Mr. Steve that owns what should be the completed portion of this neighborhood. Two of the neighbors burn wood in the winter. It's myself and Mr. David Blue at the bottom, and we go through there and cut wood. This I'm very personal with my neighbors. Prior to this hearing, I would say I knew and have been introduced to majority of the HOA, Mr. David Blue, which built my house, and his brother at the north side is Alan Blue. Mr. Keith is right here in the front left of my property. Mr. Jeff is across the street, and Mr. Gar is at the bottom right. I have personally known these people before this rezoning, and I believe that brings value to this conversation that most neighbors don't meet unless there's something bad taking place or an event in a community. So I'm well versed in the problem and things I would like to avoid if possible. The plan was to develop 45 houses. 16 houses carry the financial responsibility of 29 houses with the HOA requirements. Due to the 16th house, they are required to work with DNR requirements, which carry a higher cost to operate per month. By working with the county, my approach to work with ministry partners, veteran organizations, first responders, friends, and family, I will create a successful asset for my family and also cover operational costs for the needs of what my wife and I have decided. Examples that I plan to hold for 2025 is holding a Murphy Challenge in 2025, which is where you get veterans and the community together. Mr. Murphy was a Navy SEAL that received the Medal of Honor, and we plan to hold the Murphy in Branson, Missouri for 2025, and that's just a small example without going into continually conversation about events and interests that my family and I hold with these nonprofits. Upon approval of the project, I will provide the required engineer stamp plan to the RV park section 016.060. To completely neutralize any encroachments and intrusions on my neighbors, the project will follow Article 016.00 RV District to include buffers from Taney County. Also in discussion last week was trash. I have a visual. It's going into utilities and properly maintaining the property. I believe it should be Republic Service, second to last. This is just requirements from Republic. Last week, the discussion of trash and the curb appeal of the property will go down. I hold a high level of respect for ownership, and this is just going over the utilities. Electrical will be provided by White River. Internet, White River, or Brightspeed. Trash services is Republic Services. It's a four-yard container requirement, one trash can per unit per week. Service day for trash is Tuesday, and RV park insurance provided by Andrew Bryant and located in Forsyth, Missouri.
Does anybody have any more questions for Mr. Ware before we start through?
The eight sides, that's 11 acres there.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Where are you proposing those eight sides to be?
Yes, ma'am. If you enter that driveway off of 165, it would be on the right-hand side. Per the RV requirements for the county, they...
Off 176?
Yes, sir. For requirements of the county, that'd be at least 14 feet apart.
Is the intent to charge a fee? Because I've heard is you want to provide and give and give. This is a business, and you're providing a fee.
Yes, sir.
Or you're charging a fee.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Have you already thought of the idea what kind of fee that would be?
Average.
You mentioned veterans, you propose that a lot and everything. My husband happened to be a Vietnam veteran. But you, what type of fee are you, is it a special fee for them or is it a?
So the average daily night in the surrounding Branson area in Taney County is about $45 per night, unless you're going into, let's say, they have a pool and amenities and things like that. It can fluctuate. So the way that I work with a few, and just an example of the way things are, funds are raised in order to house veterans, do events. This past week they were in New Zealand doing elk hunts. All these funds are put together and utilized to be able to do more events. My angle on it is to provide a location for what we are offering.